We live in tumultuous times. Among other things, people are being encouraged to self-identity. Gender identity is a big thing, seemingly all of a sudden. But for those of us who are united to Jesus Christ by the grace of God, through the faith that He has given us that has enabled us to repent of our sins and to lay hold of Him as the Savior and Lord of our lives, we recognize what we read in Romans chapter 1. It should not surprise us that there are those who are struggling with their sexual identity. Because indeed it is there in Romans chapter 1 where the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that each one of us in our natural fallen condition have the propensity to give ourselves over to unnatural desires. That as long as we suppress the truth of the God who is there and set ourselves up to seek to know who we are in and of ourselves, God may very well give up any one of us, if we're outside of Christ, to that lust of sin within. That's the world in which we live. And that's the world from which, by God's grace, we've been saved. And so the question is, who are we? I'm sure every one of us at one time or another in our lives have been asked that question. Well, who are you? And how do we normally answer that question? I give my name. And for me, if I'm in Indiana, I'm the husband of Kim. That's my identification. I have standing because of who my wife is. And some of you might have standing because of who other relatives you have are and what people think of them. And certainly we eventually come to, this is what I do for an income. And that's not unusual because we're Americans. And as Americans, when people want to know who we identify ourselves as me, myself, and I, and what I'm all about. We here in America are all about individualism. Be all you can be. Be what you want to be. You can be. But the question, who are you, has an answer. And God gives us that answer. And He gives it to us in the written revelation that He's left with us by inspiring those holy men to write their words that are actually His. And so you can see the title in the bulletin is Who We Are. And we's in capital W, capital E. Not the editorial we, but the collective we, the communal we as a people not as individuals. Who we are not, we are Penn State. Who we are. And as you go through the scriptures to seek to find how it is that God defines us, we His people, there are many places to which we could turn. But this morning I'm directing our attention to the words that the Holy Spirit wrote through the one to whom Jesus said, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." The words that he has written, if we look at the very beginning, to the pilgrims of the dispersion, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, of obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. In other words, these words that Peter writes to the pilgrims. And brothers and sisters, that's who we are. We're pilgrims. We're passing through this life. We're passing through this life to the new heaven and the new earth. But this is who we are as we live in this life. And it's found in the second chapter and verses 4 through 11, or 4 through 10 this morning. I'd like for us to read those verses in unison, if we may. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 4 through 10. If you'd like, it's on page 1076 in the New King James Bible provided there, beginning with verse 4. "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scriptures, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, by which they are also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." May God's Spirit be pleased to write these words upon our hearts. Amen. Do you notice where Paul begins identifying who we are? We are those who have embraced the stone the builders rejected. Now, who is the stone that the builders rejected? Well, we know from Scripture, don't we, that this stone that the builders rejected is none other than the promised Messiah, the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of Man, that baby born of the Virgin Mary, that unique baby whose father is God. And he came to his own. And what did his own do? They rejected him. And they rejected him for, unfortunately, very sad reasons. It was their understanding that their Messiah was going to come and he was going to physically conquer their enemies, the Romans. And he was going to physically establish his kingdom there again in Jerusalem, in Israel. And they rejected him because they didn't understand the faith of their father Abraham. Their father Abraham was looking forward to the one who was going to come and give resurrection to people who believed in him. But how is it that we have embraced this stone that his covenant people rejected? Well, if we look at verse 3, we'll notice that little phrase in there that comes from Psalm 34 that we often sing at mealtime, "Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good." What does he say? "Indeed, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." We've tasted his graciousness, we've tasted his goodness, because the Holy Spirit of God has changed our appetite. He's made us like different foods, and the food that he's made us like now is Jesus Christ. And so as we come this day, we come to partake of Jesus Christ, of his body and his blood, because he said to us, unless we eat his body and drink his blood, we don't have life. By God's grace, you see, we've come to believe on him, yes, individually, but we've come to believe on him corporately. We have that like precious faith, and together we make that precious faith our testimony of our salvation. And he says that as those who embraced the stone that's been rejected, we become what? Animated stones. And what kind of animated stones are we? Are we animated stones that say, here's my, no, we're animated stones, we're living stones who are being built together into the spiritual house of the living God. One commentator talked about a Spartan king who, when enemies came, said, "What's your hope of protection from us?" And he said, "The great wall I have around my city, Sparta." And they said, "Great wall. I don't see any rocks, stones, bricks, timber piled against each other and surrounding you." "No, no. You see those soldiers? See those soldiers? They're not Robin Hoods. They stand together, shoulder to shoulder, they're my wall." How is it that Jesus is going to build his church? Through the living stones, who are being built together, stone upon stone, believer upon believer, life upon life, to stand against the enemies of the people of God. Solitary Christianity is not biblical Christianity. Going off into the woods, into the wilderness, for peace and quiet with the Lord is not who we are. We are living stones who look forward week after week after week to be called together to build one another up, to encourage one another, to weep with each other, to rejoice with each other, to know and intertwine with each other in the lives that we have as living stones in the stone that was rejected. Just as Jesus is a person, so we are people who have our orientation based on Him as the cornerstone of our lives together. And when you think of a cornerstone in the foundation of a building, you think of that stone that's there in the corner that sets this and this. And as long as you go the right distance here and the right distance there, based off of that, and then do a right angle and a right angle, you're going to have a sure foundation. As long as He is the one who enables us to know how to live together as living stones, we will be impenetrable by the enemy. But more than that, we will be a spiritual house that is comprised of royal priests. Here He brings together, doesn't He, words that in the old administration of the covenant were not brought together ordinarily. The priest was from the tribe of Levi. The king was from the tribe of Judah. But He says to us, because we've come to Melchizedek, to the son of David, we in Him are kingly priests. And as kingly priests, we proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so it doesn't surprise us, does it, that the Catechism talks about us as being prophets, priests, and kings. Because we're lively stones with the rejected stone, Jesus Christ, as our cornerstone, who gives us our living orders, who orients our lives, who sets us apart from those outside of Christ who have identity crises because they're seeking to find who they are in and of themselves and will never come up with the right answer if we look at myself as who am I? So when we find ourselves united to the living stone that was rejected, we find ourselves, unlike Israel of old, according to the book of Hosea, not a people, no mercy. But now we are the people of God, to whom mercy has been extended. we come shouting for joy because corporately we are a people who have experienced day in and day out God's mercy. He has not given us what we deserve. On those occasions when we fail to align ourselves with that cornerstone, when we fail to see ourselves as living stones built together, when we become individuals doing our thing apart from our unity in the body of Christ. But we all understand and rejoice in the fact that when things are happening within the body of Christ, there are living stones, switching the analogy from a building to the analogy of a body, which is another passage we could look at to find out who we are. We recognize there are some ears, there are some noses, there are some eyes, there are some heads, there are some feet, there are some hands, and we all understand that we can't all be an eye. We can't all be a mouth. But the difficulty is, when the mouth begins to act like the mouth, sometimes we who aren't the mouth begin to wonder why they act in that way. Or if they're not doing what I enjoy doing, we wonder why there's something wrong with them. But when we see ourselves as those who have enjoyed the very mercy of God day in and day out, we will therefore be merciful one to another. Because we prize Jesus, the living stone, we who are living stones as well, we will praise Him. Because we are the church of the living God. We are the no longer Hosea Israel, we are now the people of God. We are indeed the merciful, the ones who've received mercy. So He brings it all into that ninth verse. You're a chosen generation. And I struggle with that word generation because I've often seen it as chosen race. But I don't like the word race. I don't like the word race because that's what we're involved in today, isn't it? You're of that race, you're of that race, you're of that race. No, we're all of the human race. Skin color doesn't determine race. It might determine ethnicity, but it doesn't... Anyway. But there is a sense, you see, the human race is the human race because what? They had father Adam. The human race is descendant of Adam. And then after the fall, Eve. What about those of us who, according to the first chapter of Peter, are born again? What do we become? Well, we become what? Children of not Adam. With me? We're no longer children of Adam. Who are we? We're children of God. We have God as our Father. He in Christ through the Spirit has begotten us unto a new life. We're no longer of the generation of which we were born. we're now of the generation of which we've been newly born. No longer is the devil our father. God now is our father. We're a royal priesthood. Through the life that we enjoy in Jesus Christ, we are the rulers. We are the rulers in this earth. We are the kings, the queens. We have an obligation in the political arena. And we'd be thankful that here we have a vote, because we're in a democracy that's a republic that says we the people are the ones who are going to So for whom do we vote? Well, that's another sermon. But I'll just tell you, look at Deuteronomy 17 if you want to know for whom to vote. That's the voting orders of the Bible. But anyway, we're priests. We're those who bring people to God. Sheep reproduce sheep. We're priests. We what? We present our bodies a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable unto Him through Christ Jesus. We're a holy nation. We are a people set apart. We live in, but we're not of any longer. The fellow named Kevin Van Hooser, who's written a book on faith speaking understanding. We all know faith seeking understanding. Faith speaking understanding. What's he saying? He's saying that the church of the living God is faith speaking understanding into a world that has rejected the truth. But as a covenant community who lives by the truth, we live antithetically to the way the world lives, and we therefore are a holy ethnicity, a holy nation. We have the living God as our Savior, King, Prophet. And we live as those people with that Trinity over us in a world that says, no, me, myself, and I, that's who governs the world. So we stand out. And that's why I like what the King James says about the next phrase. We are a peculiar people. We don't like the word peculiar. Some of us maybe grew up being called peculiar by our friends. Something strange or weird about you. Yes, that's right. There is something strange and weird about us. We're possessed by God. We're possessed by God. We belong to Him. He is ours and we are His. We're His possession. And because we're possessed by Him, we now have light. Do you remember what it was like before you repented and believed in Jesus Christ? Did the things you like to do, did you do them in the light or in the darkness? Did you hide them from people because you knew they were wrong? Well, what's happened today?
I don't have to hide my
desires of my own flesh. I can go and do them as I please. I'm possessed by me. But we have the light. We're in the light. We're in Christ Jesus, who is the light. We no longer shun the light. We welcome the light into all those dark crevices of the residual effects of what we used to be before we died in Christ. As we identify ourselves with the Apostle Paul, the good that I would, I don't, and the good that I don't, or the bad I don't, I do. We struggle as the light penetrates, because we're not really sure we want to be possessed by God. We don't want to be so peculiar in the world. We want to be liked. We want to be accepted. We want to be appreciated. We want to be patted on the back. Because our identity is so wrapped up in ourselves. Than it is in us. Who we are. We're the peculiar people who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit to show forth love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To love with patience and kindness. To be always ready to give a reason for that eager expectation we have of Christ and His coming. Because that's so countercultural. That with gentleness and Christ set apart in our hearts, we give the reason for the hope we have in the new heavens and the new earth. Not in the right official in the White House. Not amount of money in the bank account. Not the kind of house or car or clothes. All those matter. Who we are is the people of God, who is known for our labor of love, our work of faith, our patience and hope. That's who we are. And we go forth in the power of the resurrected one, whose death we commemorate until He comes again by partaking of the supper that He's given to the church, visible. Who we are. Living stones built together in a spiritual house with Jesus Christ as the one who sets our feet. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for this reminder from your word of our identity. This is who we are. We thank you. Help us to be who we are by your grace, working out that salvation with fear and trembling, because you're the one who's working in us both to will and to do according to your good pleasure. And we'll give you the praise, and we'll proclaim your excellence in Jesus' name. For his sake, for his is the power and the glory and the kingdom. Amen.